Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
You're listening to Eagles Unfiltered.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
This podcast is powered by Eagle Maven of Sports Illustrated.
Third down and one. Hurts. Keeping. First down and a touchdown.
Here are your hosts, Ed Kraz and Connor Miles.
All right, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Eagles Unfiltered, powered by Believe Podcast Network and sponsored by BetOnline.ag, the best sports betting website around. Remember, use promo code Believe, B-L-E-A-V, to get 50% matching your initial deposit on BetOnline.ag.com. Again, the best sports betting website around. Go win some money with the Eagles, winning 7-0 this year on BetOnline.com. BetOnline.ag, just with Ed and I. Ed, look, I'm watching this game against the Steelers. The Eagles, complete game. That's one of the most complete games they played this season from a four-quarter standpoint. And I'm thinking to myself, the young quarterback, just like Donovan McNabb was, the young head coach that nobody wanted or knew of, just like Andy Reid was. I mean, the similarities between these two and their development. When you look back on Andy Reid and Donovan McNabb, it's hard to think. Forget the comparisons for Jalen Hurts and Donovan McNabb. Forget that. I don't really care about comparing Jalen Hurts anymore. I think he's just something that Philadelphia's never seen before. And we're just going to have to embrace that and learn it for years to come. But let's look at Nick Sirianni. Is he the next Andy Reid? I know it's early. I know it's his second year. But, man. When you could tell a young head coach, take over an organization that was won a Super Bowl under the previous head coach you're taking over, to come into that organization, to fill those shoes, to be as young as you are, an offensive play caller, and take a step back and say, you know what, I'm going to be the head coach. I'm going to let Shane Steichen call the plays. I'm going to let John DeGannon be the head coach of the defense. I'm going to be the head coach of the team. I'm going to set a culture. That's Andy Reid stuff, Ed. That's what Andy Reid would do to set the culture. That's what Andy Reid would do to set up the whole entire team. Brad Childress would call plays. Pat Shurmur would call plays. You know, many offensive coordinators throughout the Eagles' tenure with Andy Reid would call plays. Monday morning wake. Should have said him over Pat Shurmur, but you get what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I think the same thing's going to happen here with Nick Sirianni because it's all up there in his head. He knows what he's doing. I mean, it's hard for me not to. Doug Peterson was not Andy Reid 2.0. Doug Peterson was Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson was the former player who knew the league from playing in it. He was with Brett Favre, Mike Holmgren. So take Andy Reid out of that. I know he was on Andy Reid's understudy, but a lot more factors led to Doug Peterson's NFL career than Andy Reid. Nick Sirianni, nobody knew who he was before the Eagles interviewed him.
No.
He was Frank Reich's right-hand man, a wide receivers coach with the Chargers who did a phenomenal job. But nobody really knew this guy. Just like nobody really knew Andy Reid when he was a quarterback coach in Green Bay. It was all Mike Holmgren's show. I'm telling you, I think they got the next Andy Reid.
Well, it is kind of early. I'll say this about Nick is he's a really smart football coach and, the son of a coach, right? I mean, he's just all about football. He always has been. And he's so competitive and so fiery in spots that, it's hard not to like what he's doing so far. You know, he hasn't been to an NFC championship game here. But, yeah, I could certainly see him, getting into that Andy Reid type status. He's got his quarterback apparently. And I think, one of the smartest things Sirianni may have done was hire Jonathan Gannon and Shane Steichen. I mean, these are two smart football men, and that has allowed Nick to say, okay, I'm confident enough in Shane that you can call the plays. I'm still going to be heavily involved, but these two coordinators are very smart guys, and they care as much about football as Nick Sirianni does. And, we better enjoy them now because I don't think either one's going to be here next year. I think they both will have an opportunity to become a head coach. Seeing what Shane Steichen has done, and you have to give him credit for helping Jalen Hurts develop, as you do Brian Johnson, the quarterback coach, who I think might be elevated to OC if Steichen were to leave. But, these are two guys that if the Eagles go on and have the kind of season everybody expects, they're going to be in high demand for what they did with this team. So, I really like what Nick Sirianni has done with these two guys, and I like how they came out of the bye. They had all week to prepare for the Steelers and now the Texans on a short week. But they got away from a lot of their tendencies. They didn't do a lot of RPO stuff. And that's just a testament to the coaching staff to be able to get more versatility out of this offense. So, yeah, these are smart men that you're talking about here, guys that could eventually become what, Andy Reid was here in Philadelphia. But, again, a lot of credit to Steichen for picking Gannon and Sirianni for picking Gannon and Steichen.
So the reason why I'm going there with this, correct me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, if you feel this way. And look, hindsight's 2020. You can make these points to the end of the day. But Doug Peterson brought in a strong staff in the beginning. Well, on paper, he inherited Jeff Stoutland. John DeFilippo was a great hire. It was quick. He left quick, but it was a great hire. Frank Wright, Jim Schwartz, great hires. Corey Underlin, hit it up and down tenure, but he inherited him. Dave Phippey inherited. I know where Press Taylor is doing Jacksonville this year, but I'm talking about Philadelphia's tenure. There was never really a strong outside of the guys I'm naming other guys. And those are the guys that, other than Jim Schwartz, would get plucked right away. So I'm looking at this coaching staff. Shane Steichen becomes the head coach of Carolina Panthers next year. Let's just say that happens. Kevin Batul or Brian Johnson, or maybe even Aaron Moorhead, with how the wide receivers are looking, are in line to become the promotion offensive coordinator. This is what Andy Reid was doing. When his guys were leaving, he was just promoting them within. I know the Eagles try to do it with Doug, but I'll tell you right now, Ed, you and I know this both well. That's a huge reason why Doug got fired. It's because of his ability to build a coaching staff.
Right.
I don't know if that's going to happen here because I'm telling you right now, I don't want to say they're interchangeable because Shane Steichen is doing a great job, and I think it comes from the background that he's had with the Chargers and Justin Herbert and young quarterbacks that he has to deal with in his time, and even the veteran quarterbacks as well. I think Shane Steichen is a great coach. I think he's going to – he might actually be a good head coach in this league. We'll see. We'll find out. We're going to find out. But if you replace him with Kevin Patul or you replace him with Brian Johnson – or Aaron Moorhead, or hell, Jamel Singleton. I don't know if I'm that concerned as I was when Press Taylor takes over. I mean, I wasn't concerned Press Taylor took over anyways. I just, the Super Bowl winning staff, I trusted him.
Mm-hmm.
It fell apart, clearly, But I think I'm going into this with no worries this offseason when the staff gets plucked. It's a very strong staff. I mean, again, on paper, we're all talking about on paper. And again, we have to see how it develops when they actually take over in these spots. But I got to go off how I feel right now, and I'm not worried. These guys look like they know what they're doing. Kempa Tool, this passing game is amazing. You know, it's up and down, but it's so interchangeable. You know, it gels so well with this rushing attack. And you, so you got to give your credit to that guy for doing so. So if he takes over his offensive coordinator, I mean, look what the passing attack's doing. Am I that concerned? Brian Johnson, look at the leaps Jalen Hurts is taking. Am I that concerned if Brian Johnson takes over?
No. It's continuity. Yeah, Jamal Singleton, great job. I mean, but it's about continuity. And, you know, they put this staff in place, and you're very confident in it. And it's the second full year this staff has been together, too. That can't get overlooked. You know, that's huge, that continuity. Another reason the Eagles are sitting here at 7-0 heading into week 9. I just think that, any of these guys would be great promotions if Steichen and Gannon were to leave. And I think there's a very good chance both will. But, I just think that they're in good position to elevate from within, promote from within. Denard Wilson on the defensive side of the ball. You know, Nick Rollis is probably a little young at the linebacker coach. Tracy Rocker probably has no desire to be a head coach. I don't think Jeff Stoutland has any desire to be a head coach. But, yeah, the guys you mentioned are all young guys, guys who, you know, now have two very good years underneath their belt, and they're going to be in demand. And why wouldn't you promote from within?
Look, fans have a tendency of having short memories, and promoting from within did not work so well at Doug Peterson's tenure. And you're going to harp on that, and you're going to focus on that when the Eagles do that this year, because you already see people talk about Vic Fangio, and that's not going to happen. It's going to be Denard Wilson. Look, throw that out the window. Go back and look what worked with Andy Reid and how well it worked with Andy Reid. I think you're having the same success there as well. Look, you can't compare every situation. I understand that, but don't compare it to the Doug Peterson situation if that's how you feel, because it's not. I don't think that's what's going to be. I really don't. I absolutely don't at all. Anyways, Ed, Robert Quinn's added, fourth round pick.
Yep.
Clear rental player, but that's what you need when you're making a Super Bowl push, because you had, look, people really underestimate the impact Derek Barnett makes on the field because he does so many boneheaded plays. The guy might not show up in the box score, but the box score stats don't tell the whole entire story football ever. They tell like 40% of it. 60% of it is Derek Barnett making hustle plays that were needed on the defensive line, especially against the run. So what do the Eagles do, Ed? They finally replace his snaps. Taron Jackson was not working out there well. Still in his developmental stage. Glad he's back on the practice squad because he's shown he can be a player. Still in the developmental stage, though. They needed the Robert Quinn type impact. When you had that Super Bowl team, they had Chris Long, Vinny Curry. Don't disrespect Vinny Curry. He was very productive. Derek Barnett and Brandon Graham. They needed four guys to do the same thing here. And now they got Reddick, Quinn, Sweat, and Graham. This is it. This is a Super Bowl winning pass rush group right there that the Eagles have. Robert Quinn trade was a must. They were either going to do that, Jerry Hughes. I don't think they're going to pay the price for Bradley Chubb. That's just not a high Roseman type move. But I agree with you. I think this was a great move to get Robert Quinn, though. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, we'll see what he has left. Obviously, you know, he had the 18 and a half sacks last year. He's only 32, but he's been in the league 12 years. I mean, he came into this league at a very young age, has played a lot of football. Sirianni said he still thinks he has some juice. We saw him play 20 snaps against the Steelers after just being here, you know, what, 2-3 days.
Steelers doubled him too, which is the craziest. That's like the one stat that Eagles fans are harping on since he got traded from the Bears is how much he got double teamed with the Bears this season. And first game with the Eagles, he got double teamed a couple times.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he's certainly going to be someone that you're going to have to pay attention to, because I think he's still capable of winning one-on-one matchups, and we'll see. I mean, short week, obviously they go to Houston on Thursday night. But I think his biggest impact will be felt probably coming out of that mini bye when they play the Commanders on Monday Night Football after they go to Houston, because then he'll have had another, you know, 10 days to kind of immerse himself in the terminology of the playbook. I know he's played in this scheme before, but he said himself that the terminology is a little bit different, so he has to get used to that. But yeah, I think he'll be fine. I mean, he's a clear rental player. The Eagles terminated the last 2 years of his contract and Quinn agreed to do it. So you wonder if, you know, this is kind of maybe his swan song and he wants to go out with a Super Bowl ring. He's only been on one winning team in his entire career, and that was the 2017 Rams that lost in the wild card round. That same team, he sacked Carson Wentz in that game that Wentz tore up two ligaments in his knee in L.A., in 2017, but he was on that team, and that was the only winning team he's ever been on. So, you know, he probably sees this as his last chance to win a Super Bowl ring, and he's going to empty the tank and give everything he has because he's a rental player. He's only here for 11 games, and that's it. He's gone. The Eagles probably won't bring him back. I'd be shocked if they brought him back. He may not play again. So that helps. That's certainly motivation enough to, you know, whatever you have left, you're going to give it and you're going to spill it because you want to get that Super Bowl ring. So, yeah, I think this was a really good addition for the Eagles.
I think Reynolds is key here because, look, they have premium draft capital and a good edge rushing class coming into this 2023 draft. I think that's the route they want to go, and they're telling you that right now. But they need Robert Quinn's impact for this season with the Super Bowl window being what it is. Howie Roseman knows that Super Bowl window is smaller than any other window in the world. And he learned that harsh lesson, especially when your quarterback's on a rookie contract. That window is about to shut very fast. So I'm going to tell you right now, from my Twitter account, you're going to be seeing a lot of tweets come December and January. This is why you trade that fourth round pick for Robert Quinn, because that's where that impact's going to show the most to me, is when December playoff football comes around. And everybody's trying to fight for that seeding, get that position locked up, or the Eagles are trying to get number one seed locked up and get home field advantage locked up. That's where Robert Quinn's going to come in really handy there. And that's where he's going to come in handy in the postseason as well, when they're trying to get after these top flight quarterbacks in the league. So that's why you trade the fourth round pick for Robert Quinn. He's going to wreak havoc. I have no doubt about it in my mind. Sure, on the team in Chicago this year, that's the only perimeter defense on their front seven they're taking seriously. Literally. I know everybody like loves Roquan Smith, but he's having a horrible year. He doesn't fit Matt Eberflus's scheme at all. That's why they traded him. But Robert Quinn, on the other hand, I thought, you know, going back and watching some Bears game this season to see what he had left in the tank, was their best player. You know, the Ben was still there. He was getting after the quarterbacks. You know what I hate the most? Everybody hooks up stats and goes, sack numbers. I'm going to determine how good you are by looking at your sack numbers. And you know what that makes you? An asshole. Because that is the farthest thing that you should be doing when watching football. Pressure causes turnovers. Turnovers win games. If the rusher is getting to the quarterback and forcing him to make an untimely throw that results in a turnover, I'm honestly at the point where I'm going to start giving that defensive end more credit than I give the corner for catching it. Because you're forcing the quarterback to make that throw when he doesn't want to make that throw in an untimely manner. That play is more important than a sack. So when I look at Robert Quinn this year, I'm thinking, wow, he's causing turnovers. He's getting after the quarterback. Forget 18 and a half. Forget those numbers that they got voted into the Pro Bowl by fans. What's really been doing, he's getting after the quarterback, causing pressure. That's what Hassan Reddick's doing. That's what Josh Sweat's been doing. So, and Brandon Graham, to be honest with you, because everybody's always harping on his double-digit sacks, but he's getting after the quarterback, causing pressure every chance he gets. So that's why I love the Robert Quinn addition. That's why I love getting him a fourth-round pick and getting it over with. I think, you know, you and I brought it up. It was either going to be him or brought up Jerry Hughes as well, because they want a rental guy. You know, Bradley Chubb was a nice thought. I like Bradley Chubb. A lot of people harped on me when I tweeted out that Bradley Chubb would be worth the trade too, because they looked at his sack numbers. I'm like, no, he... 57 pressures when he's healthy on the field. I'll take that any day of the week from an edge rusher. So the folks out there that are questioning Robert Quinn, or, you know, look at his sack numbers this year, you're not watching the whole entire game. I feel bad for you. You're missing out, because the Eagles got a great edge rusher, and he's going to come on hot for them come December and January. It's going to be very key to help them win a Super Bowl if they do win so, or get close to it. I think they will. I think they'll get close to it at least. But Ed, forget the Robert Quinn talk now. We're going to harp on this Steelers and Eagles game a little bit. But by talking about it, there's only one thing to talk about. A.J. Brown. Wow. Should have had four touchdowns. Three touchdowns was crazy enough. I know Riley Cooper did it, but not too long ago either, which is crazy. But almost four touchdowns by Eagles wide receiver in a single game.
Yeah. he'll tell you he should have had five. He should have had that one that would have gotten called back on the rare Jason Kelce holding penalty. But, you know, he said he could have caught that. So, you know, he thinks he could have had five, but it would have been called back. But, yeah, four for sure. Got run down in the open field by Minkah Fitzpatrick, and he said that never happened to him before. He thought he was going to score. He's never been run down before. Teammates got on him about it pretty good. But, you know, nothing wrong with three. Nothing wrong with 156 yards, career-high receiving. They couldn't guard him. I mean, he was just unguardable. And you have to give a lot of credit to Jalen Hurts. I mean, there were three go routes that Brown ran, and Hurts just dropped him right in the bucket. I mean, just great, great throws. And that's what him and Brown worked on, you know, all summer. Was that chemistry. And, you know, these two go back a long time. They've been great friends for a while now. So they never had that on-field chemistry before, obviously, because Brown was in Tennessee. But, man, you know, Brown was unguardable. He is so dangerous when he catches a ball in space over the middle. I mean, he can just pick up yards after the catch like it's nothing. And that's all you have to do is just hit him in stride, give him a little bit of a window. And like Jalen Hurts said, when he gets his playmakers the ball, he just gets his popcorn out and sits back and watches them go. That was a great quote from Jalen Hurts after the game about that. But, you know, the thing I like most about Brown is he came out and he didn't like to harp on all the good that he did in that game. He was talking about the plays that he missed, you know, the dropped pass that he had over the middle, getting caught from behind, you know. And I think that's one message that Jalen Hurts sends from the top is, listen, we're not ever going to be satisfied with how we play, and we're going to look at our mistakes and we're going to be serious about it. You know, we have to continue to get better. We can't just sit and rest on our laurels. And that's a message that Hurts has, you know, said throughout his time, that he's never going to be satisfied with what he does. And Brown came out and he wasn't satisfied with what he did. Yeah, he was happy that he had the big game, but, you know, I think that's one thing that keeps this team winning is that attitude of we're not happy with the game we played. And it was the most complete game of the year they played against the Steelers. But they still said that we can play better. We haven't played our best game yet. And they seem very genuine and sincere about that. They're going to stay hungry. And that's kind of the motivation that they need. And that's the advantage they have against some of these other teams who are just, you know, so happy to win that, you know, they're maybe not as serious about correcting their mistakes, but Hurts is. And that trickles down to the rest of the team. And that's a huge advantage.
When you see AJ Brown in person, when you're at the facilities and you're interviewing him, do you just think your head like, wow, this is the best wide receiver I've seen play for the Eagles? Like
I mean, listen, I was like the third guy at my old newspaper when they went to the Super Bowl in 04, or, you know, it was the 05 Super Bowl, the 04 season. And I saw Terrell Owens, and I wrote a lot about Terrell Owens. And, you know, Owens was a beast. There's no question. Just a big guy, athletic as could be. And, you know, Brown is just kind of built differently, man. He's literally like a linebacker or a tight end that becomes a running back after he catches the ball. I mean, he's put together. It was kind of funny, you know, on Monday, how he came out on his Twitter and said that, you know, he had this big game and Roger Goodell decides to test him for drugs, after this big game. I guess he was just having a little bit of fun because he's been drug tested before, I'm sure. But you look at the way this guy is chiseled at, you know, 6'1", 225, 227. I mean, he's all muscle. I certainly would have a hard time wanting to tackle this guy in the open field. I know guys get paid big money to do it, but he's a handful. And when I look at him, I'm like, yeah, this guy is all you could want at wide receiver.
That's a good point. All you want at wide receiver, because from what I'm gathering this season and watching A.J. Brown play for the Eagles is, wow, the NFL has not seen the best of A.J. Brown yet. And again, he came from that Tennessee offense where he was not the vocal point. Derrick Henry was. Now he goes to the Eagles. It's clear as day he's the vocal point. And look what he's doing as being the vocal point of the offense. This guy's a top five wide receiver in the NFL, potentially. I know he's already top 10, but I think we underestimated how good he actually was. I don't think we saw the best A.J. Brown in Tennessee. I think we're seeing the best A.J. Brown this year. And that's, you know, you guys can take that as a quarterback slight or saying Hurts is being better than Tannehill all you want. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the Eagles, instead of the Titans, decided to make A.J. Brown the vocal point of the offense. And he goes, okay, I'll do that. Oh, by the way, I have the potential to be a top five wide receiver when I do that.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Yeah,
I just don't think Tennessee knew what they had, to be honest with you, because they gave up the 18th pick and the third round pick. They got the 18th pick and a third round pick for him. You know, Hollywood Brown got almost the same compensation from the Arizona Cardinals to Baltimore Ravens. So I don't really know if the Titans knew how good A.J. Brown could possibly be, because right now he's playing like a top five wide receiver in the NFL. I don't think we've even seen the best of A.J. Brown yet. We're going to see it because the Eagles lost him up in his prime. But making him because clearly he's the vocal point of the offense. Clearly the offense runs through A.J. Brown. That's where, I mean, when it comes to passing the ball, that's what it seems to me, because all the attention from the defense, the secondary, week in, week out, seems to be on A.J. Brown. Even if, you know, his numbers aren't there that week, trust me, the defense was watching him as it was. So clearly the Eagles made A.J. Brown their vocal point of the offense, which is the right move to make. But man, I know that he's top five, but he is. I didn't know. I knew he was top 10. I knew he was going to be great for the Eagles, but he's been better than advertised. And that's because he's become the vocal point of an offense. And this, he's showing you, hey, all you need to do is just give me the ball like this, and I'll perform like a top five wide receiver. And that's what the Eagles are getting so far, and I love it.
Yeah, the Eagles are still going to try to get it to Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert. But, you know, it's just a versatile offense that, if AJ's being double-teamed. Then the Steelers started double-teaming him after – he had that big first half and took away some things. It didn't work because the Eagles have other weapons. You know, Goddard had six catches for 64 yards, and he had three catches on third down that went for first down. He had one catch on fourth down that went for a first down. So, you know, you're still going to get the ball to those guys. I thought Quez Watkins might get more targets, but, you know, he's kind of down the pecking order in this offense. Yeah, clearly you're going to win some games when you get the ball to A.J. Brown. And, you know, it was interesting that first touchdown. You know, he wasn't the first option on that play. He said he was just trying to clear things out for Schmitty, as he calls him. Schmitty. I think he called him Schmitty. He was just trying to clear things out for Smith. So he was slowing down. If you look at that play again, he's slowing down like around the five, just kind of looking back. And then all of a sudden he sees the balls coming. So he starts to run toward the end zone. And he's like, I better do something here. He's throwing it to me. He wasn't expecting to get the pass there. And he said, but that's one great thing about playing with Jalen Hurts is because he tells all his receivers to be ready. You might get the ball because he is doing such a good job now of getting through his reads. The line's giving him time. And if he sees something else he likes, he's going to take it. And the receivers better be ready. And Brown was ready on that first touchdown catch. So, you know, I guess the bottom line is, yeah, get the ball to A.J. Brown. Good things happen. But there are other parts of this offense that Shane Steichen's going to try to get the ball to. And Devontae Smith, it could be his week Thursday night against the Texans because they'll look at this tape and say, we can't let A.J. Brown beat us. We're doubling him. And then all of a sudden, Devontae Smith's open or Dallas Goedert's open down the middle. So, you know, this is just such a versatile and such a hard-to-defend offense when everything's clicking. And we saw that. You know, it was Brown's day Sunday. Could be Devontae Smith's on Thursday night.
Good point on Quez Watkins being down in the pecking order because that's really all it is. Yeah. From what I'm seeing on the film, he's getting open. He's doing what he has to do, drawing PIs, which, you know, again, here's another player that people think needs to be replaced because the box score is not looking well enough. But on the field, he's doing his job, and he's doing a great job of doing it as well. If you ask me, as a wide receiver three, he's the least option in this offense. He's the bottom option in this passing offense. He's doing his job. I don't think the Eagles need to move on or get a wide receiver three or upgrade that position at all. I think he's doing just a fine job. Again, stop staring at the numbers because when you play with A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, we kind of expected this to happen. Yeah. We did, but Quest's still doing it. Quest's still a good player. He's still developing just fine. He's making plays, getting open downfield. It's just he needs the opportunity. That's all it is.
You know, and how nice is it to not be sitting here on trade deadline day saying, oh, the Eagles got to trade for Brandon Cooks or, oh, they got to get Odell Beckham Jr. in here. You know, how nice is it not to have to worry about this position where we've always talked about it on trade deadline day? And the Eagles made a trade for a wide receiver just in 2018. They brought in Golden Tate for a fourth round pick from the Lions. So, you know, it seemed like every year we've said, let's go get a wide receiver at the trade deadline. Not anymore. Not with A.J. Brown signed for 4 years. Not with Devontae Smith in the second year of a rookie deal. I mean, this receiver group is one of the best in the NFL. There's no doubt about it. And it's nice to be able to sit here on trade deadline day, 4 o'clock Tuesday, saying, nah, we don't need a receiver.
Thank God for once.
Yeah.
Thank God. Once. Unless he's a returner, then I'll take him. I think they brought Greg Ward back to return punts, though, and then they're getting him ready.
Yeah, you know, listen, we give Britton Covey a tough ride, but I don't see a whole lot of room for him to operate in space. I'm not sure the punt return team is really doing a good
there
job.
I agree with you on that. I just hold my breath every time the guy catches the ball, though. It doesn't seem like he – I don't know. It just does not seem like he crawls it safely. It seems like there's always a chance he's going to fumble it to me. Or I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Maybe that's just me just being superstitious. Yeah. I hold my breath every time that guy catches it.
Yeah. Well, I know he's done it. He did it for a very long time at Utah, and I don't think he had any real serious fumbles. Now, you know, maybe he misplays the ball and muffs it and lets it bounce or, you know, takes a chance and not calls a fair catch, and that's a little scary. But I think ball security-wise, he holds on to it okay. He's returning kicks now, and again, there just doesn't seem to be a lot of room. There was one kickoff where the Steelers, I think, was number 27. He wasn't even blocked. He just came running straight down and hit Covey at, like, the 20-yard line. I mean, they're just not blocking. I think you could bring Devin Hester in here, and unless you're blocking for the guy, giving him a little bit of a crease to get through, then, you know, we would be saying the same thing. Hester stinks, but, you know, I think – could they upgrade there? Sure. And maybe Nyheim Hines is a guy who the Eagles would look at the trade deadline today. You know, the running back from Indianapolis, it's a move that probably makes more sense than Kareem Hunt, because I think Hunt would just be another headache, not because of just the person he is, but because his contract situation, he needs a new deal. Sanders needs a new deal. Hines comes in here with a contract that has him signed through 2024. It's a pretty high number. I think it's like a $7 million cap hit, $5 or $6 million in base. So you might want to rework it. But, you know, he's a punt returner. You know, he could do the job. And then probably park Covey on the bench, or maybe you trade him to the Colts as part of a deal to get the job done. Because the one thing that, you know, maybe people don't realize is Eagles don't have any mid-round picks to give up in a deal. They don't have a fourth. They don't have a fifth. They don't have a sixth next year. they're not going to give up one of their first rounders, a second or third rounder, and they have 2 sevenths. So what are you going to trade away to get anybody else that you want to add to this team by the deadline? Is, you know, you're hamstrung there unless teams are willing to accept draft capital in 2024. And I don't really see that being the case. So it could be a player type move. Maybe the Colts would want like a Covey in return, or a Scott, or an Andre Dillard, or somebody like that. But again, with Dillard, you got to be careful, because I thought maybe last week or 2 weeks ago, he was a candidate to be dealt. I've been told the Eagles have offered him to some teams, but I thought Brett Toth would be back by now. And I think he would be your backup left tackle, but Toth is still recovering from his ACL tear. So Dillard is a good insurance policy to have at left tackle. And, you know, we all know that's a good policy to have. In 2017, Jason Peters went down. They had Halapulavati Vaitai. So, you know, I think you want to hang on to Dillard and then let him go in the offseason and get whatever comp pick you get should another team sign him. Or maybe he comes back at backup money. I just don't think you're going to give him away at the trade deadline. I could be wrong, but, you know, it depends how bad you want a player. Like, do you want Nyheim Hines to come in here and be, you know, your backup running back to Miles Sanders, returning punts? I don't know. Do you want?
I'm not trading a left tackle for a running back.
Yeah, no. I don't think they would, but, you know, I'm just saying, like, you know.
No, I understand what you're saying, because you're right. These are the mid-round picks. The mid-round picks are what's getting moves at the trade deadline. They don't have any. You're completely right.
Right.
But, no, you don't trade a left tackle for a running back ever. Especially one that has starter potential.
Maybe you trade him for, like, you know, a fourth and a fifth or something like that, and then you turn around and trade the fourth and the fifth for a running back. You know, I don't know. I mean, it's –
I'm going to tell you right now, no. I mean, I we're spitballing. I don't think he feels that way. But look, Jack Driscoll will not play left tackle. I don't want to see Brett Toth at left tackle. Sorry, not going to happen. Especially if he comes back late in the year from an injury for a Super Bowl contending team. No, that doesn't make sense.
No.
Andre Dillard's got to be the backup left tackle, because Milata, forget the shoulder injury this year. I hate to bring it to everybody, but Milata has an injury history. He does. Yeah,
he missed some games.
Well, even from once he's first started with the Eagles, I know we call him phantom injuries, but he still has an injury list.
Yeah.
So I'm keeping Dillard. Nothing can make me move Dillard. I'll get the comp pick. I'll lose him like I lost Big V, but that's all right, because when I lost Big V, I lost him with a Super Bowl ring on his finger because of how he helped us.
Right.
So I that's completely fine with me. I'm keeping Dillard. That's over with. I saw what I saw with Jack Driscoll, left tackle. I don't want to see it again. Keeping Dillard. But safety needs to be addressed. Third safety needs to be addressed. I mean, you and I keep saying it over and over again, but it needs to be addressed big time. I don't think they're going to do it. I think they're going to pick somebody off waivers if somebody gets waived after the trade deadline or something like that. But I think they're finally realizing they need a third safety, though.
Well, I think so, too. I mean, and we have talked about it. Like, you know, would you get Rodney McLeod from the Colts? And again, what are you giving up from Rodney McLeod? Do you sign Anthony Harris off the Broncos practice squad? Do you go out and maybe see what the Houston Texans want for Desmond King? You know, he's a cornerback safety type of guy. He can play both those spots. And I think a lot of that will depend on Josiah Scott. Very under the radar injury on Sunday was Josiah Scott with his ankle injury. You know, we had Nick Sirianni on Monday and people were asking him about Jordan Davis. Nobody asked about Josiah Scott. I don't know how serious that ankle injury is. He may not play Thursday. But, you know, Scott was a valuable player when Avante Maddox went out for two games with an ankle injury. Scott stepped in and played okay his first time out, played better his second time out. So, you know, if this is a serious injury to Josiah Scott, you may want to make a deal for, you know, somebody that can play cornerback like Desmond King or safety like Desmond King. He can play them both. I know the Eagles signed Javelin Guidry to their practice squad on Monday. He's an experienced cornerback. Maybe he's needed. But I would think if Scott has to go on the IR for 4 weeks, maybe Andre Cesheri comes up. They were cross-training him at safety and cornerback during the summer. He's out of practice squad elevations, but he's still on the 53-man roster. They can't bring him up from the practice squad unless he's added to the 53. So, you know, maybe that's a move they make. But, again, I don't know the severity of Scott's injury. His ankle injury, but if it's pretty serious, then maybe the Eagles do try to make a deal for someone in that secondary who can play both, like King he can do corner and safety. A lot of versatility there. So we'll see. That to me would be, I agree with you. I think that would be the move I would make, is go for the, you know, some depth there at on the back line at safety, and maybe someone that can play the corner as well.
Jordan Davis' injury is going to hurt.
Yeah.
4 to 6 weeks potentially, the high ankle sprain. You know, really dominant against the run this year too. He's been a huge, you know, contributor to the Eagles' success, at least being, you know, somewhat better against stopping the run. That's going to hurt without him in there. So Marlon T, I'm going to be honest with you, Ed, I know you and I sung his praises this offseason, but he did not look the part at all filling in for Jordan Davis at all against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, I'll tell you, though, he had his best game of his career against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Marlon T actually played a career-high 36 snaps, I think it was, somewhere in there, maybe 34. But he actually had a really good game. But can he do that week in and week out? I don't know if that consistency's there yet. Davis, you know, I know that his role was about to be expanded. You know, he had played like 20 to 25 snaps.
You saw it. Start of the game.
Well, he played 19 snaps in the first half, and he got hurt with 3 minutes and 20 seconds to go in the first half, having already played 19 snaps. I mean, he was on a pace for like a 35-snap game, and I know that's what Gannon wanted to do. He wanted to come out of the bye week and play Jordan Davis more, and he was doing that, and then he got hurt. So now he's gonna come back. It's not a season-ending injury. He'll come back at some point. But now you've missed the 4 or 5 weeks, whatever it is he's going to miss, of that development of the conditioning. He can't condition because it's an ankle. If it was a shoulder or an arm or a hand, he'd be able to at least get on the bike. But, you know, chances of him keeping his conditioning level are not good. So he's going to come back, and he's going to kind of be back at square one. And that role again is going to be 20 snaps, maybe 22 snaps a game. And that's a shame. You know, that's a shame for him because he was coming along so well, and it's going to hurt the Eagles. And, you know, I don't know what their options are. I mean, do you get one in the trade? I mean, you can't go crazy trading for a D tackle at this point. I think more likely you're going to see maybe Marvin Wilson come up from the practice squad. He has all 3 practice squad elevations left. You bring him up for 3 weeks from the practice squad, and you give him some reps. But filling in that five technique, that over the nose or over the center position, there's nobody that's as good as Jordan Davis. I mean, they'll probably try Marlon Tuipulotu in that role, but he's not Jordan Davis. Nobody's as Jordan Davis. Whoever you bring in, if you bring somebody in from another team, a low-level D tackle, he's not Jordan Davis either. And you're not going to make a big deal for a defensive tackle like Davis because Davis is coming back. So you're kind of hamstrung. You're going to have to get by without him at this point. And Gannon's going to have to kind of figure it out and how he's going to deploy his defensive line. You know, it's not as going to be as easy to toggle back and forth between the 5 and the 4-man fronts as it was with Davis available. So we'll see what he does, but it's definitely a big loss for the Eagles.
Damien Pierce on Thursday.
Yep.
Antonio Gibson, Brian Robinson the following Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Taylor the week after, which I know he's struggling this season, but again, you know, that's a bounce back game potentially with Jordan Davis. You got Aaron Jones the following week after that, and there AJ Dillon. You got to give AJ Dillon credit too. And then Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley to round it out. The toughest stretch of running backs, and you're missing Jordan Davis. This is tough. This is adversity right here. We're going to see how they overcome it.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how they, and we'll talk to Jonathan Gannon, you know, Tuesday, and we'll see what his plans are. But yeah, that it's a big loss. And I feel bad for Davis too, because he was getting better. He was learning what they were teaching him. He was picking up on it, and he was ready to take off with his snap count. He was ready to go over 30 snaps a game. I firmly believe that. And now he's back at square one.
I'm going to be honest with you, this game against Houston on Thursday, short week, riding the momentum of that high scoring, electric, fun Steelers game. Did the Texans have a chance to make this a game? I think so. Of course. I mean, I think they're better than the record suggests. They fight in every game, it seems like. I know some games they got blown out, but it seems like a majority of the games they play this season, they fight. I just don't think a Lovie Smith coach team in 2022 is going to beat the Philadelphia Eagles led attack that they have right now. That's not going to happen. I have the Eagles winning big. I don't know about you. I have the Eagles winning. I'm going to have them winning 38-17.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. The short week thing, you know, Jalen Hurts going back to his hometown of Houston. I think they'll win for sure. It's a huge line in the NFL, 13.5 points.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I usually don't like to pick teams that are getting that many points. But this sure feels like the Eagles aren't going to miss a beat here, and they're going to go into their mini bye. And I'll tell you what, it was a unique situation getting ready for this game because the Eagles had a bye week. And then they come out of it with two games right away, and then they have another mini bye week. So they did a lot of preparation for Houston during that bye week as well. The coaching staff did. They implemented a few things to the players because they knew it was a quick turnaround. And the players are still kind of fresh coming out of that bye. Other than Davis, they really came out of it, you know, pretty clean injury wise. So yeah, I like the Eagles to win this game. I think they'll cover. I think it'll be something like 27-13. Does that cover? Yeah, that covers by a half a point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll go Eagles 27, Texans 13.
All right. That's how we feel. Cause I mean, I'll be honest with you. Derek Singletary, their corner they drafted, third overall, stellar season this year. Incredible season. Hasn't played AJ Brown yet. Hate to break it to you, pal. Jalen Petrie, the safety that they got out of Baylor, though, who I love for the Eagles. I think he would have been a legit consideration for the Eagles if he actually would have made it to their pick in the second round, to be honest with you, because of how he plays. That's what they like in safeties anyways. He's having a great year as well, too, for them. But Houston's got – and Davis Mills, like, you know, I think he's just on a bad team. You know, I think there's a young quarterback that's ascending, to be honest with you. Ascending is a strong word. I don't know if he's their franchise quarterback. Definitely not their franchise quarterback yet, but he's playing good on a bad team. He's playing well enough on a bad team. I'll give it to him.
Yeah.
He's not great, not good, but he's doing well enough given the circumstances on that team. And he's coached by Lovie Smith. I mean, I really don't like when young quarterbacks get defensive-minded coaches that don't build a strong offensive coaching staff.
Right.
It's just a horrible situation. You're asking for it to fail. Kenny Pickett's kind of fail in Pittsburgh if it stays the way that it is there. Like, it's not going to work out. Mike Tomlin's great coach, phenomenal coach. He's a defensive coach. They don't have anybody on the offensive side to help Kenny Pickett out. They're talking about firing Matt Canada. So I just hate when that happens. I hate when young quarterbacks get stuck in those situations because you can't expect – young quarterbacks need development. You know, they don't just come out of college and look like Aaron Rodgers or Peyton Manning right off the bat. It doesn't happen. They need development. They need coaching. And I think he's in a fortunate circumstance, I get in that in Houston. But that being said, I still think the Eagles went well. I don't want to say that this is a mini bye, but I mean, I just don't think Houston can match up with the firepower the Eagles have even close. And then might not even have Brandon Cooks by that time that game starts.
Yeah, right. Or Jerry Hughes. I mean, you know, there's two guys that could be on the block. Or Desmond King. I mean, maybe he's an Eagle. But yeah, I mean, I like some of the parts that Houston has on the roster. They just don't have enough of them. To kind of win a game like this, I don't believe. And
They're actually talking about moving Tunsil too. If they move Tunsil, that's going to be a wrap.
Yeah,
that D line's going to feast if they move Tunsil. That's all they have is Tunsil.
I know. This could be another big sack game. The Eagles did a nice job sacking Kenny Pickett, and I like Kenny Pickett. I think you hope he gets developed properly. But you know, he loved the Eagles. He's a Philly kid. Loved the Phillies.
Out his coaching after that game.
Yeah,
he said they don't practice hard enough.
And it was funny because Cox, that was what Nick Sirianni said, is the first thing Cox said to Robert Quinn was, hey, we practice hard here. And Quinn's like, that's all I needed to hear. Yeah. You know, I mean, the Eagles do practice hard. Everybody gives them a hard time about not practicing enough, you know, country club training camp, this and that. But, you know, let's hope we don't hear that anymore after starting out 7-0 here.
That'll be fine.
You know, Dan Campbell ran this, this boot camp training camp. And everybody thought, old school, that's great. You know, it's going to give the Eagles a hard time. They're sitting at 1-6, the Lions, I think, 1-6. But, yeah, we better not hear that again, how the Eagles country club stuff practice doesn't pay off, because it is. It's paying off. They've been relatively healthy. I know Brandon Graham has a hamstring issue. He only played 13 snaps against the Steelers. Didn't really need him to play a bunch. You know, when you knew you were coming out of that game and having to play 4 days later, so you wanted to keep Graham a little bit fresh with that hamstring. You didn't want it to re-injure, maybe give a few more days to heal. I expect him to have a little bit more of a load on Thursday night. I just don't see how the Texans can match up against the Eagles unless they get that run game going with Damian Pierce. But I was asked earlier, and I'll ask you this. What over under on yards on the ground for Damian Pierce, 55. Do you go over or under?
Over.
Yeah, that's what
I know. I know everybody's saying, well, Connor, well, Jordan Davis over. I mean, it's their offense right now is Damian Pierce, though. So to be fair, The offense runs through him and it's working because he's very hard to bring down. You and I wanted him. You and I talked about him a lot during Eagles mock drafts, and he went higher than we expected, as he should, because he's a really good running back. I'm glad the Texans didn't look and see what Florida used him before, because Florida didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know what they had in their possession. And at least Houston does, because that guy is definitely their back of the future, but he's definitely going over 55.
And listen, that's the only way I think the Texans can keep it close is to control the clock with the running game, keep the Eagles offense parked on the sideline. But this defense is good at taking the ball away. 16 turnovers they forced. I would expect them to, you know, have another one or two, and that could change the game a little bit. But the only way they have of keeping it close is to play turnover free and to get the run game cranked up to the point where Eagles are a little off balance. The offense is parked on the sideline. But even with that, I just don't think they're going to win the game. They might keep it under 13.5 points if they're able to do that. But again, I'm not so sure they can. So I have the Eagles covering.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Texans play hard, so I won't be surprised. But
I
agree with you. I think, you know, the young quarterback, you're going to force a lot of turnovers on him, especially when you're the best defense in the league and forcing turnovers as is. So that changes the game 100%. So I agree with you fully on that one. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us. Sorry for the delay in our episode. Scheduling problems persisted, so that's the reason why we were so delayed in content coming out. But we will be back right after this Texans game to recap on Friday, or if Ed's available, on Friday to discuss that game and recap it fully for you guys and talk about, you know, maybe the trade deadline moves that are hopefully being made in the next coming days. See you guys soon.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' cold K-Cup pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.